You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Friday night. No, your ears did not deceive you. Friday night, October 17th, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, to be found, as always, not only on thechairshot.com, but anywhere and everywhere that you listen to your podcast. That is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I'm the man with the award-winning and holy beard DJ, going to partially go around the room and introduce this cast of characters that I have with me each and every week with a bit of a caveat. Starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, he is Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9. He's the man with the bionic back and destined to go through a barbershop window. And he's the birthday boy, Jason. Sir, how you doing, man?
Well, you're going to start to go around the room, and you're going to end going around the room because it's just me and you tonight, buddy. But I am, as the birthday boy, I am good. I am well. I am 40. I am old.
Lordy, lordy, Jason is 40. My goodness. Before we get into that, we got to talk about something. It is a red letter date here for the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We have always prided ourselves on putting out content each and every week for you, the listeners, for the podcast network. We did break our own record here about 3 weeks ago. We missed a week. Circumstances beyond our control. But the one thing we have always put over on here, either myself or Jason usually has something come up. Jason's got family stuff. I had some health issues. I had some family stuff. The constant on this show, the rock, the center, the cornerstone, has always been the genius. Well, the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, the official shoot bear himself, Rob, after 266 consecutive episodes, has missed a week. And my God, Jason, I don't know how to act.
I think it's most appropriate that the week that he missed a week, we all missed a week.
Yes.
Like that's it. Like he is, like we talk about, despite the fact that the Mindless Wrestling Podcast actually started technically in the LCCs or the LLCs with you. Yes. And you brought in Rob, and then you and Rob brought me in. However, the most consistent person on this podcast platform has been Rob the Genius. So, you know what? I can't even make fun of him. I can't even make little jokes and, you know, the streak is over and whatnot, because that guy has been here as the keystone of this whole thing, just holding everything up. So he deserves a week off. So, Rob, we salute you. You're the best.
Yep. Rob officially out on assignment this week, taking a little bit of much-earned PTO time. We hope to have him back next week and have the show back up to 100%. Rob, sir, thank you for all your effort, and enjoy this week off and get whatever rest you feel like you need. But let's talk a little bit. This week has been a big week for Jason. Jason, as we just mentioned at the top of the show, turned the big 4.0 this week. How you feeling, man? How you feeling about that?
I feel fine. I've been having a midlife crisis for the last like 4 years, so that's nothing new, but it was fine. Rob came up, for the weekend for my birthday. So like it was a whole, so it's kind of a bummer that Rob's not here for us to like play a little grab ass and talk about our weekend. But it was great, man. We had an awesome time. We went to Bound for Glory, which I'm sure we're going to talk about later. And that was a great time, but yeah, it was everything I wanted. You know, I went to a wrestling show. I had some pops with my friends and, you know, I had dinner and pizza with my friends the night before. So, you know, it was awesome.
One of the beautiful things and one of the things that I found absolutely amazing was when Rob first got to your house, we always tease Rob about his power naps. Rob is notorious for hitting that couch, and that couch just gives him the old 1-2, and then he's out for the count. Rob gets to Jason's house. He's sitting on the couch. Bucky's sitting there with Rob. Bucky's made a new friend. He's told
Jason. Hang on.
Well, you tell the story because it was your house.
This was not just he just got to the house. This was Saturday. So he gets to the house. He gets to the house Saturday night or Saturday evening. We go out to dinner at our local watering hole. We have a great time with me, my friends, Rob is my friend, but my local friends who live here and also my out-of-towner friend, Rob. We have a great time. Everyone meets each other. We have an awesome time. It was so cool for, Rich and Rob to meet each other because it's the R's because there are four people I talk about if I'm telling Emily about a story about one of my friends, 95% of the time it involves DJ and Rob, obviously my co-hosts, and Rich and or Sean, which are my best friends since seventh grade. For some reason, Emily has decided to confuse my best friend since seventh grade, Rich, with Rob, and obviously because of the R's, she uses their names interchangeably and is very, very, very funny because they do not look alike, if you know what Rob looks like. And they finally met each other, and it was one of the most glorious things in the world. And honestly, it was a great weekend. Rob was a wonderful house guest. And what did I want to say? And so Rob gets there. We have a great night Sunday or Friday or Saturday night. We go to dinner, you know, blah, blah, blah. We go back to the house and go to bed. And we wake up and the whole weekend we were kind of playing it by ear because the whole weekend the plan was Rob, we bought tickets to Bound for Glory. We're going to Bound for Glory in Lowell and everything else we'll figure it out that weekend. So Rob comes up and of course, if you're paying attention to the news at all, the weather, that was the weekend we had the big nor'easter that was just ripping up the East Coast. And all of our weather, you know, predictions were changing by the hour, which is understandable because it was a wild storm. So we're talking all this game of like, oh, Rob, we could take you to Boston. We could take you to Plymouth. We could do this tourist thing. We do that tourist thing. Whatever you want to do, just let us know. Then we'll start there and go that way and go this way. We never nailed down anything. So when that day came and it was gray and windy and then rain was going to start by 1 o'clock, like torrential rain whipping down back and forth, we were like, why don't we just stay inside and watch football all day until we have to go to Bound for Glory, until we have to leave to get to the show. And that's what we did. And so DJ, you are going to be super jealous when Rob tells his story because we woke up at what, 8 a.m. We had coffee. My wife, you know, got out in the kitchen and made scrambled eggs and hash browns and bacon. And we had all sorts of good stuff. And then, we just turned on the London game and we did not move from our seats until we had to go for Bound for Glory at like 4 o'clock. And we just watched football all day. We watched football, eat food, and it was one of the coolest things because on one hand, I felt so guilty because Rob came up and I was like, all right, we got to do something. But because of the, like, so we got to do something touristy. But because of the weather, I was like, well, anything we do is just going to be sucky. So we just stayed and watched football, and we did the Howe family experience on Sunday, and apparently Rob had a good time. So he'll report back next week, I hope. But, yeah, he had in one meal, he had the Howe family pizza and the Howe family buffalo chicken sandwiches.
Oh, now so, I'm jealous. Now yep. I'm jealous. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like I said, that whole story completely omits the fact that Rob eventually did the Howe family couch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Around Let's see. Hang on. Actually, I could probably tell you guys. But around midday on Sunday, we're
Jason, I lost you.
Sorry, Rob is sitting up. We're talking during the whole 9 o'clock game, the London game. We're making fun of people. We're talking and having a good time. 1 o'clock game comes around. We're good. We're having a great time. And then all of a sudden, like, we have lunch. We have the buffalo chicken sandwiches. And then we have a couple of slices of pizza. And then we have a couple of snacks, this, that, and the other thing. My wife has all sorts of, you know, she doesn't make everything. We have cupcakes and Little Debbie's and all sorts of stuff, you know. And she's just feeding this dude. And then all of a sudden around, like, I want to say 3:30, maybe like when the first game started to, like, calm down and we figured out, you know, there's not much else going on. All of a sudden this dude just, he's sitting on my couch the whole time, sitting up. And then all of a sudden he just goes, he just like sits the pillow behind his head and he goes prone. He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna. I was like, you're gone, man. He's going to be gone. He's going to be gone in 10 minutes. 6 minutes later, I heard some very, very sweet little shoot bear.
That's awesome.
And for the record, if he listens to this later, I joked that he was snoring, and no, it was really the cutest thing imaginable. It was not obnoxious at all. So Rob, don't be embarrassed.
Oh, that's funny. That's good stuff. We'll get Rob's side of the story when he's here. Hopefully next week he's back off of assignment.
No, he won't. He was unconscious.
Well, we'll get the rest of the story. As Paul Harvey used to say.
Exactly. And now you know the rest.
The rest of the story. Anyway, so your birthday week, you guys went to Bound for Glory. We don't have to get too deep here because, again, I want to get Rob's side of things and we'll pick it apart even more. But tell us a little bit about that. How was that experience?
It fucking ruled. Yeah, man. And honestly, a little bit of a retrospect or like a perspective thing. I truly, like, obviously I know that TNA is the little brother Impact, little brother of like the American Wrestling Federations, I should say. But I had no idea how far behind they were. So when I'm at the Songus Arena that I've seen like B concerts at and like, you know, college football team or college, you know, hockey and basketball teams and stuff. And they get out there and say, this is our best North attendance record of all time, 7,700 something. I kind of go, like, it makes me pause and I go, because I've never, like, really, really, really dove into the numbers with TNA. And I go, wow, that's amazing. Like, honestly, if that really, and that is their record. Like, I had no idea. I thought they were, like, maybe I just wasn't paying attention to those replays that I was watching of, like, you know, when Sting was there and Flair was there and, like, they're in the post-WCW, like, era.
Right.
I did not realize that those were one floor arenas, one bowl, that no, the top was not even roped off or not being shown. The top didn't exist. Like, there was no balcony.
The equivalent of, like, high school gymnasiums. I mean, obviously, a little bit more than that, but.
And hang on, credit to them, because of the lighting and the way they did it, they hit it well enough for me. Obviously, I'm not watching every single pay-per-view. Obviously, I would have figured it out and whatnot. But even still, when they said, when I was in the arena at Bound for Glory and she gets out there and says 7,760 whatever is our North American record ever, I go, no, that's not right. Like, I straight up go, that's incorrect. Like, I refuse to believe that they've done, you know, because I don't believe there's any sort of international. Obviously, they're saying North American because they must have had some other record that's better. But, or maybe they didn't want to embarrass themselves. But regardless, there's no way that they can get 7,000 as their all-time, and AEW can get 90-whatever thousand at Wembley. But yeah. Yes, that is actually, yes, that is the way it is, guys. And
that really,
put for me, and like, DJ, for me, when we are always the ones in this show, on the show, telling folks when it comes to WWE, like not WWE, and then sometimes even when it comes to WWE, we tell folks, this is a bubble. Sometimes this is a bubble inside of a bubble. But I really would not have said that about TNA. I would have said like, yeah, it's a B brand of America. But now I don't even know. Like if you ask 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people off the street if they've heard of Total Nonstop Action or whatever, I don't know if they're gonna say yes.
Yeah.
Crazy. And how many people, so that makes me, final thing about this that I'll let you go. That makes me wonder, seriously, how many people saw ads for TNA in the last 20 years and thought it was just another ad for WWF?
Then that's a good point. And the interesting thing is when TNA really hit its stride, at least from a rating standpoint, that they still really weren't drawing like large live crowds. Like they had a following. They were definitely a niche within a niche, but in the absence of any other real competition, TNA felt bigger than it might have been, simply because they were the only other viable North American competition. And two, they were putting on excellent shows. Like the wrestling that was happening in TNA, minus, you know, a couple things here and there, but you know, with the upbringing of the AJ Styles and the Christopher Daniels and the Samoa Joes and, you know, everybody in that time. And then the stuff they were doing with the Aces and Eights, the shows were so good. You didn't give a shit if they were doing it in front of 1,100 people or 11,000 people. They were putting on good wrestling shows, like good quality shit. The X Division was innovative. People feel how they felt about the six-sided ring. It was what it was, but it was something different. They were throwing something at the wall to see if it was different. Like they really stood out and made themselves seem bigger than they might have actually been. And that just speaks to the magic of pro wrestling. And that's been something that pro wrestling has done forever. And WWE, and you know, even to its own credit, AEW has kind of mastered the art of that, making itself feel bigger than it is during the times when it's really not doing so well. Or when it's not doing as well as it aesthetically looks like it is. So, but yeah, when I saw the number just south of 8,000, I'm like, that's fucking awesome for them. The other nice thing about TNA, and you can, you know, confirm or deny this for me, is that it's still, and I don't want to get too deep on the WWE prices right now. I don't want to do that, but I would do want to talk about TNA still being a quality wrestling show at a family affordable price. And I don't even know exactly how much you guys paid for tickets, but can you confirm
that? As someone who's paid way too much for WrestleMania tickets, way too much for, you know, Royal Rumble tickets and whatnot. Yes, TNA is decisively affordable for the sports entertainment genre. And I mean that in all forms of live sports entertainment. They will give you a quality goddamn show for they will give you a goddamn good seat and a quality goddamn show for the price you pay.
And that's awesome. And I really hope that it stays that way. Like I said, now that they're doing more business and they're bringing more people in and now they're potentially shopping around a TV deal, which will mean, you know, bigger money for them. I hope they don't go the WWE route. Now, obviously, I expect their ticket prices to raise. We're in an economy where everything's getting more expensive, so I don't expect them to stay where they're at forever. Nothing stays static as far as that's concerned. But I hope there's not this ridiculous, egregious price increase, because if TNA ever comes around here, I'm absolutely going.
You know,
they used to do Kissimmee. There's, I guess, a little – place in Kissimmee that they used to go to, which is only about an hour and a half away from here. Tina and I went to Kissimmee this weekend for a model car show. One of my little side hobbies is I build and paint little scale model cars. And there was a convention this weekend and we went to that while you guys were playing, you know, football and Bound for Glory. So it's not that far of a drive. It's literally Orlando, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away from me. So yeah, if TNA ever ends up in the vicinity, I'm absolutely going, especially for the price that they're currently charging. So I hope that it stays in that same, like, I hope they don't, you know, vacillate too much on their prices. Because I'd still like to take in some live wrestling shows for the foreseeable future. WWE is not in the cards for me. The NXT show that used to come around here doesn't come to my area anymore. So I don't have that opportunity anymore. So my live shows are limited and TNA may end up being it. I'm glad you guys had a good time. We can talk about the actual show itself when Rob's back. That way you two can kick around the matches and everything like that. But it sounds like you guys had a blast.
We did, and by the way, we're having a little NXT showcase here on a on SmackDown. We're recording live during SmackDown, and Blake Monroe, the NXT Women's Champion, she is ringside, and Charlotte and Alexa are fighting Sol Ruka and Bull of Ice for the. Sol Ruka and Zarya for the tag titles. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Tag titles. I did that. This is going to be fun. So I'm sorry. I was totally distracted.
Yeah, no, that's okay. We're getting live updates from Jason. I'm going to be sad when Sol Ruka and Zarya finally implode. They have been so much fun on TV and so much fun to follow on social media. But I think that's part of the point.
Right, exactly. That's, I am too, but also, unlike the Shield, like obviously they were building towards, you know, some sort of breakup, and we all thought it was going to be Dean, or you guys all thought it was going to be Dean, and it was turned out to be Seth, but it wasn't like, they basically told us that this is the point. With them, is yeah. They are going to eventually become combustible elements. So it's not, but unfortunately for us, their you know, makeshift tag team turned out to be just one of the best things going in the last couple of months. So yeah, that I was like, man, whichever way they go with it, like that, yeah. These two girls are going to be just fine.
I'm going to be hurt, but I'm going to be hurt the way wrestling is supposed to hurt you, if correct. That makes sense, you know?
No, it does.
Yeah. Yep. So, speaking of hurt, speaking of broken up, speaking of people getting turned on, we got a bit to go over. We're not going to go over WWE Crown Jewel because, again, Rob's not here, and I want Rob here for that entire discussion. But we do want to talk about a couple of big points that came out of that weekend because some pretty big things happened. Mostly to one Seth Rollins. Seth defeated Cody for the Crown Jewel Championship.
Clean-ish, by the way.
Clean-ish. Yeah, we had some brass knuckles or something involved.
Well, he is the Rolex, but I mean, the point
Rolex,
is...
That's right, the Rolex.
He is the Rolex, but that's a plot point for a villain. It's not like he had the goon squad out there.
Right.
He won. He won as cleanly as a heel could win.
Yeah. But the interesting thing of that is, and we predicted that. I think we were 3-0 on that one on our predictions. We all thought Seth was going home with that. But the bigger story coming out of this is Seth did a coast-to-coast headbutt on Cody. Cody was strung up in the tree of woe. Seth went to the opposite corner, did a diving headbutt, and it looks like he did something to his shoulder. Early reports are saying possible rotator cuff tear. Well, if it is, obviously WWE and creative had much different plans in mind for the vision for Seth Rollins.
Hang on. Okay. Let's put the events in the order they happened.
Okay.
So
many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding Ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster, and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Seth Rollins beats Cody Rhodes with a, among other things, a flying super coast-to-coast headbutt. Right? That yes. happens first. Then, when is the first report of Seth in the sling? Is that before or after Monday Night Raw?
I don't know, but I saw something like literally.
Because I will say, the only reason I'm asking that is the only reason that I'm fairly plugged in. The only time I heard that is like, oh, Seth was spotted in a sling walking out of the Saudi show or walking out of Sunday was after Monday Night Raw. So that immediately was suspect to me.
Now, let me point out why Jason is suspicious right now. Several months ago, Seth on Saturday night's main event in a match against LA Knight did his little backflip thing and tweaked his knee. And LA Knight they called the match early. LA Knight hit the BFT and they went home and Seth lost the match. Myself and
Rob. Did they call the match early?
Well, okay, we're getting to that. I'm getting to that. Myself and Rob on our follow-up episode both, gave our well wishes to Seth because this was legit. This was a legitimate injury. Seth fucked his knee up again. I'm pissed off. We had all this shit coming out of this. There was one person on the Mindless Wrestling podcast that said, wait a minute. It was Jason. Jason was the only one of the three of us who was suspicious about this, and we told him he was nuts. We told Jason he was out of his mind. We clowned him. We ribbed him. And a month later, no, at SummerSlam.
Hang on. And then we find out that Seth Rollins is on crutches. And then we find out that Seth Rollins has a knee brace on. And then Seth Rollins is walking his little girl to school, and Bex is fucking recording him walking his little girl to school on crutches. Seth Rollins' knee is messed up, guys. His knee is messed up.
So Jason was the only one that got that right. So obviously Jason is suspicious now. The only thing that gives me pause to think that this is legitimate.
Sorry, I'm not. I am suspicious of Seth always, but I am just trying to, for our listeners' sake, I'm trying to put the order of operations in the correct order. Yeah. So Seth beats Cody Sunday. When is the first report of Seth in a sling? Because I only heard that after Monday. It's like, oh yeah, Seth walked out of there in a sling.
Okay. Now, I was on the app formerly known as Twitter while the show was going on. And after I saw the Coast to Coast, people were talking about it. There were early reports, literally within minutes after the show, that Seth had hurt his shoulder and it might be a long-term injury. Now, nothing about any of that.
Minutes after the show, long-term injury?
Literally minutes after the show, he hurt his shoulder and they're concerned that it might be a long-term injury. So, who knows? The only thing that, like I said, like I was getting ready to say, the only thing that gives me pause here is there's absolutely nothing to gain, and you can't do the same thing twice in less than 4 months. Like, okay, we did it with CM Punk, and it worked. You got us. You got us, and I love getting got like that. I didn't get Jason, but they got me and Rob. I love it when they get me like that. You can't run that back. because it's just at this point, it's, and if you are running it back, I'm going to look at you sideways because it's just stupid. It really is stupid. So I'm leaning towards the fact that this is a legitimate injury. And given what they did Monday night with the Bron Brons and Seth Rollins and them absolutely just obliterating him and sending him off into the ether, I think this is a legitimate thing. I think they had to pivot because I don't think the you cannot look me in the eye and tell me that the plan was for them. Like, literally, Seth Rollins was to win the Crown Jewel Championship on Sunday, and then Monday night they're going to turn on him. Like, you cannot convince me this was the plan.
Hang on. Okay. So, the plan is for Braun to turn on him, right?
Yes, but not 24 hours after the fact.
Well, hang on. You've got two things that you need to figure out. Because, yes, do you need to make Seth look strong when Braun turns on him? Yeah. Do you need to also not make Seth look like a little bitch? Also true. You can't do, hey, Seth, how many times have I beat you? Has it been 20? And then he loses to that dude, and then Braun turns on him. You can't do that to the guy. Like, and this is me defending your guy. Like, I'm trying to save a little bit of your dude's manhood.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and in the context of what you're saying, you're right. But at the same time, this just felt rushed. Like, this felt like a hard pivot for me. So I have a feeling this may be a legitimate injury. I need to really, really watch the headbutt again and see how Seth landed. I've watched it a couple times. I haven't really analyzed it. So I want to watch it and, like, seriously pick it apart and see how he landed and see if I think it's a legitimate injury. But right now, that's what I'm going with. And if they get me, they got me. I think it's crap that they did it again. But we'll see what happens. But interestingly enough, we have now pivoted. Well,
the one thing I wanted to mention is this going to be part of the story as to why Braun did what he did? Like, you know, he couldn't even get through this match without, you know, this match with Cody Rhodes without busting his arm. You know, he's talking to me and Braun and talking to us like we're little boys. Like, I just had enough. Like, and I'm one of those dorks who can just draw the line right down the middle. If his injury becomes like kayfabe and it becomes like, you know, part of the story of trying to work us, fine. If he comes back in 2 weeks, I don't care. Like, it's same thing as like Roman going to the hospital, quote unquote. Like, yeah, he came back a month later and he's fine. So like, but if he's actually injured and they rushed this story, well, then they're not really rushing it because what else can they do?
Yeah. We'll see how that plays out. I guess we'll find more as the weeks and potentially months to come go along. the other thing that we were 3-0 on was we were 2-1. We were 2-1 with Stephanie Vaquer beating Tiffany Stratton for the women's Crown Jewel Championship. Rob was the only holdout. He was just absolutely convinced that Triple H is going to keep giving us Tiffany until everybody loves Tiffy. That did not happen.
He's a little bit of, you know, he's one of those.
Well,
Rob's been hurt a couple of times by Tiffany Stratton. So
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So that's big. I still maintain Liv Morgan has a legitimate claim to that championship. And while I don't think they pulled the trigger on anything big with Stephanie this week, I see that in the foreseeable future. I don't know if Liv is healthy. I don't know if Liv has an imminent return. But right now I'm planting my flag that's the plan. Is for her to come back, feud with Tiffany or feud with Stephanie Vaquer, and then eventually circle back around to the whole Dom and Roxanne situation, because that's a thing now. So
I'm going to sign off on that. That's yes. Let's go.
Okay. All right. And then the only other big thing is AJ Styles and John Cena apparently had a classic. You know, and depending on how you view it. And the interesting thing about this is you either absolutely loved this match and loved what they did with it, or you just thought it was a spot fest. Like, I've literally seen both sides of that argument. They paid homage to their greatest rival, both of them. You know, and AJ Styles paid homage to, you know, Christopher Daniels and everybody that he's wrestled throughout the years that made his career. And John Cena has been doing the same thing for the last three or four matches. And the two of them have always had wonderful chemistry anyway. I predicted on the pre-show that these guys were going to put on a classic, and they did. For my money, they delivered. You know, so
if you think that thing was a spot fest, you don't like pro wrestling. You like grappling.
This was a love.
Yeah, I won't even say you don't like sports entertainment. Like, you don't like professional wrestling if you didn't like that match.
Right.
And you just like grappling. Go watch UFC.
Yeah.
Because if you did not enjoy that as a love letter to sports entertainment, professional wrestling, whatever you want to call it, the goddamn big top circus with guys in their briefs. Like, that was everything that everyone ever needed about professional wrestling in the last 30 years, 20 years, I guess. And it was so good. I'm going to keep going because that the finisher spam at the end, if you had a problem with that, then you do not like AJ Styles. You do not like John Cena and you don't like pro wrestling. You just like watching guys fight because that was such a love letter to both their careers, a lot of men who have been important to their careers. Like, and man, that was just so perfect. And nothing felt too, even as impossible as this sounds, with them doing just finisher spam after finisher spam after finisher spam, nothing felt truly contrived. And that was just a fucking miracle, and that just speaks to how good they both are at, again, pro wrestling.
Yeah. I did love in the intros, the little intro for AJ Styles that apparently John Cena wrote up himself. John gets it, man. Like, John, and to his credit to AJ Styles, this match, the intros, everything, they knew exactly who they were playing for. And they knew what people wanted to hear. John, you know, in the intro, they mentioned, you know, the undisputed leader of the Bullet Club and the face that runs the place. Can he beat up John Cena one more time? Just, and maybe I'm just putting away my smart hat, which is what we should all do from time to time, and watching it just as a guy who loves and respects both of these guys. I bought into it, man. And to see the look on AJ Styles' face to for him to appreciate that, just the whole moment, man. Like, Jason, you pretty well encapsulated it. You have to love pro wrestling to have appreciated that match.
So, AJ Styles, not a founding member of the Bullet Club, so I don't know how he can have that claim. And then also, I popped huge for the face that runs the place. Oh my God. That was like everything about both intros was incredible, but like just the face that runs the place. It was like that callback to like what, 2016?
Yeah.
AJ Styles is US champ on, or as WWE champ on SmackDown. That was such a fun era. So that was it, the whole, obviously the match and everything else was incredible, but yeah, the intros were great.
Yeah. I really hope next year they won't do it the same way that they did John Cena. And God, I hope there's things that they did with John Cena that they don't do with AJ Styles, but I hope that they give some type of pomp and circumstance to the final year of AJ Styles' career, because I think he deserves it. Here's a guy who was absolutely a name in the business outside of WWE, and he was one of those people who had a respectable career outside of WWE. And long time, people didn't think he would ever come. And a lot of people didn't think he would fit in. And then he came into WWE, and he seamlessly just jumped right in the water and started swimming. And it was amazing. I mean, and he fit in so well.
The first thing he said, literally the first thing he said in front of a WWE microphone on a WWE camera is, I should have been here the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Literally, as he's walking down the aisle in the Royal Rumble when he debuted, that's one of the things he says. He's pointing to the ground and saying, I should have been here the whole time.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's right.
Yeah. And I'm still wrapping my head around the fact that it's been almost 10 years. Like, AJ Styles has a 10-year run in WWE now, coming up on. That's amazing. For a guy that a lot of us never thought would ever end up there, and he even said because of his age, because he was pushing, I think, about 38 when they signed him. He's like, you know, I'm almost 38 years old. He's looking back. They're pushing the 28-year-olds. He's like, I'm 38 years old. I'm probably – not that he's past his prime, because most wrestlers really don't hit their prime until their mid-30s, but for WWE and them trying to gear towards their younger talent, he really didn't feel like he had a place there. And for him to come in and within his first year be in high-profile matches to win the WWE Championship, to be in to fuse with John Cena, just absolutely incredible. And while he never went back and recaptured a world championship again, his run in WWE has been incredible. He seems to have enjoyed his decade there, and it sounds like he's committed to staying on board after he hangs up the boots and training the younger talent. And I think that's amazing for him and amazing for the talent. That's a hell of a tree to learn under AJ Styles.
Yeah, man. If I was WWE, I'm holding on to him with both hands.
Oh, like, yeah. Hey, you grab on and you hold on to that dude with everything you have.
You want a Legends deal? You want a trainer deal? You want to be an agent? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
I'll write the contract right now.
Yeah, because, again, when we look at the WWE Performance Center – and the people that train these people, you're surrounding yourself with some really, really good talent. And you want people who have worked the globe, who have worked for other companies, and who have worked different styles, worked and can look at working in the ring from a different perspective. And I think the more of that you can have, the better your talent will be. We've talked on this show about NXT using Booker T's, was it as – what's Booker T's promotion's name? It just fell right out of my head. Reality of Wrestling. In Texas, they're using that as like a backup training ground. And I think that's excellent because it's giving these workers a little bit different perspective. You get them out of the fully immersed WWE environment and say, look, this is how it's done elsewhere. They're sending talent over to NOAH in Japan to work those shows over there. So they're getting some outside of WWE perspective, which is so important, you know, and that's the argument that a lot of people make when they talk about the WWE training and it's the WWE style, which to your regular smarks implies that they don't know how to do it elsewhere. Well, WWE is sending their wrestlers elsewhere. And that's so important. And if you can get a guy like AJ Styles in there who has wrestled elsewhere, he can look at the product a little differently. And I agree with you. Give him whatever he wants and keep him in-house until he is ready to just retire completely.
Yeah. Pay him as long as you want, as long as he wants to be paid and to actually do something.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Jason, have you got anything else? I think we, in the 40 some odd minutes that we've been doing this, I think we've covered quite a bit of stuff without completely peeling the curtain back on yours and Rob's weekend.
Well, I wanted to give some highlights on that weekend in case I lose it in the next week. But being there for Mike Santana winning the TNA World Heavyweight Championship from Trick, like that whole – they – again, it's when you just nail the story the way you should with the guy that you who should win the thing, like there's nothing like it in the world, and they just nailed it with Santana. Like, he is just so electric right now. And, man, for a dude who is in a B tag team on AEW television and decided, no, I'm gonna try my luck at the singles thing. Whew.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Bet on yourself, Hall of Famer.
When pro wrestling sticks the landing, there's nothing better. You know, Cody finally beating Roman, Hangman beating Moxley, Santana beating Trick. When you stick the landings on these, because so many people say, oh, because they will look at something like, let's take the Death Riders. How long did we piss and moan about the Death Riders? Because quite frankly, for a while, it stunk out loud. Like, it literally stunk the building out every time it was on TV. But when they stuck the landing on it with Hangman, it was fucking chef's kiss.
We were begging, pleading, and, like, crying for the Death Riders to, like, be over and not be a thing.
Right.
But when they still took them out, when the Team AEW and Hangman took them all out, like, they were, like, you know, the worst villains on the planet, we were all still there on the edge of our seats.
Yep.
So, you know what? They nailed it, man.
Well, and it's like, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, TNA's been taking it on the chin from NXT for months and months and months, and, oh, this is another bad deal for TNA. And it's a no. Nope. You see the story through. If you ride it out to the end, as long as they stick the landing, it's all golden. And that's what they did here. And that's totally made this TNA-NXT partnership so good is the way they ended it. And that's got pro wrestling when it smear away the politics, smear away the bureaucracy and the profit making and all the price gouging and everything else. Pro wrestling as an art form from the performer's perspective is so fucking awesome. From the storytelling perspective, it's so fucking awesome. Yeah. And as you always say, it's better than the thing you like.
Well, and the other thing I wanted to highlight, you know, I'm sure we'll geek out about it more next week, but being there for Team 3D and the Hardy Boys, one final table, like, that was a surreal experience. It was literally watching, like, I can't even compare it. It's like, it was like watching Batman and Superman fight off against, like, Captain America and Iron Man. It was just like, yeah, these are the guys. These are the dudes of who I associate with this art form and this stupid combat sport and this stupid entertainment that I love so much. Yeah. And they're the guys who started it all for me. Like, obviously, you know, growing up in the mid-90s, you know, TLC, like, I was a WCW kid, and then I grew up in the Attitude Era, and I was always a WCW kid. But I obviously, TLC was a thing. I knew the Hardy Boys and I, obviously watched all that stuff, and to see them knowing all the personal struggles that they've all had, and just seeing them like well and firm and, you know, going out on their own terms, it was just a surreal experience. So, you know, yeah, very, very, very cool to be in the building for that one.
Yeah, and I'll reiterate, I am so jealous of you and Rob, because you guys from at least twice that I can think of, you have been to major turning points in wrestling history for two different companies. You guys were there when the streak of the Tribal Chief ended at 1,316 days, and you guys were there at TNA's largest, you were part of TNA's largest North American crowd ever. And that's awesome. And that's something they'll talk about for years until they finally surpass that number. They'll talk about that forever. And I think that's cool that you guys were there for that as well. Insanely jealous of that. At some point, the entire shield of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast will get together and go to a wrestling show. And when that day happens, it's going to be fucking awesome.
I can't wait. You got to make that happen soon.
We're going to figure it out, man. So why don't we call it a night, Jason? Why don't we get out of here?
Yes, let's do that.
All right.
We should invite people to go over to ProWrestlingTees.com. There you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the offerings from all the wonderful people of ProWrestlingTees.com / the chair shot. There, so you can see the Chair Shot Network, folks. We can see all your favorite podcasts, including this one. Buy our shirt, please. I have to feed my dog. DJ has to feed his kids. Rob has to feed his kids. We all have bills to pay. But also you can wear us on your bodies and advertise us to everybody you love. So what's not to love about that?
God bless them. That is the best t-shirt commercial we've had on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast in a long time. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.